Michelle.
Hi, RuPaul.
Are you ready for some What's the Tea, girl?
I'm ready for the tea,
Oh, my goodness. I just want to, you know, yesterday I saw you in drag, and you looked gorgeous.
Thank you.
You looked really, really gorgeous. Okay. What you had on, we were calling it pageant hair, but it really wasn't pageant hair.
Well, it really was.
It was hair of a glamorous woman of a certain era. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Shelly Hack. Is that her name?
Shelly Hack, yeah.
Shelly Hack from Charlie's Angels. She had that hair. She was one of the Charlie's Angels.
She took over when Cheryl.
I don't remember that far back.
When she played Cheryl, somebody's sister, Farrah's sister. No, Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd played Farrah's sister. And then Shelly Hack was the last.
Yes.
Wasn't she the.
She replaced.
Or was the girl. Remember the girl who was in View to a Kill? What was her name? And she was Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. And she was on that 70s show.
Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts, right. She was the last angel, wasn't she?
I don't remember.
I believe she was.
Because that's when they jumped the shark. So
yeah, they jumped the shark. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, Shelly Hack had that hair. Mm. And it is gorgeous on you.
It's pretty.
I said all that to say, you know, it is a look that you can translate into every television medium. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but the irony is you think I could do that myself.
No, you don't. Do you think I could do my look myself?
Yeah, because I could not do that myself if I tried.
No.
Yeah.
No. And who did that hair?
Hector does. I literally don't go anywhere without Hector. He is the most, like, if people find out the real talent of that boy,
yeah.
Like Matthew,
yeah.
Like, I'll never see him.
Right.
That's how talented Hector is.
Right. Well, you should go and key his car right now.
Done.
Yeah.
Done deal.
I punctured all the toilets.
Punctured all the tires. Took care of everything.
Sure. Yeah.
He's going nowhere.
And then who did the makeup?
Nicole. Lipstick Nick. She is amazing.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then that gown.
That gown we got from, it's an ABS gown.
Right.
And we got it at Macy's, believe it or not. And what I love about ABS is they're like the queens of knocking off all the Oscar gets all the awards gowns. They post the next door. They used to. I don't know if they got a cease and desist from doing that. Remember, you'd see in like,
yes,
you'd see that they'd post their version of Jennifer Lawrence's gown or J-Lo's gown, you know, and that's what they were good at. And this just happened to
and
be
they
one.
They sell at Macy's.
They do.
At all Macy's?
I think they sell at all Macy's.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe not full collections. Like, they'd be in the bigger Macy's, New Herald Square. And
I wonder if they're over at the Bev Center.
I don't. I would imagine so. Definitely.
I'm going to have to go check that
out. And they're
out.
Long. They're long.
Yeah.
Like, you could work that out.
Oh. Yeah. It's good to know. Because I've heard of ABS. And yes. I knew them only because they are the people who knock off the Oscar gowns.
Yes.
You know. You looked gorgeous.
Thank you.
I just can't stress that enough because I think that you know, I do about 100 TV shows.
Yes.
I think that you could come for me with about 100 TV shows.
If
people saw you dressed, because listen, let's face it, you have your own style. You're from New Jersey.
Yes.
You like the bling.
Yes.
You like the rings. You like to dress up in drag.
Yes.
You know, this was a kind of drag that could translate to other venues.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I don't feel bad or wrong about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the element of drag is always going to be in everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of bringing it to Diane Brill always lives in my head for
mm-hmm.
some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think because for me, when I was a baby and I would watch her outside the door and I'd see mm-hmm. her in clubs or whatever she was doing, she was this glamorous kind of
it girl. She was a New York it girl during, it was like 86 through about 1991.
Yeah.
Because I think she married this German guy.
Rich guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, back then in New York in club society, there were it girls.
And
you
she
know.
Was a bigger girl. She was never a stick.
Yeah.
And she always used to wear these gorgeous corsets, boobs up, but she was always really glamorous.
Right. Kind of like, who was the one after Marilyn? The blonde, you know, Mickey Hartigay, Mariska Hartigay's mother.
Oh, Mae West. No, Mamie Van Doren.
Yeah. What? No, no, not Mamie Van Doren. Why is my brain?
Jane Mansfield.
Jane Mansfield. Why is my brain like this?
One. I don't know.
Why is my brain like
this?
It's
okay, darling.
I just, you know,
it's okay.
I go to pick.
Find it. You give me the clues. I'll get it eventually.
I look for a file. It's been deleted.
No, it's not.
Gone.
Jane Mansfield. She's there.
Yeah, she's there.
She lives on.
But she had that kind of va-va-voom body.
Yeah.
But she was tall, right?
Diane?
Wasn't she?
Very.
Yes.
Yeah, she was tall. She was not miniature like me.
Yeah.
But
and she's still around. I think she's got a makeup line.
She's got a makeup line, yeah. It's very expensive. That's why I don't have any.
Where do they sell it?
Online, I think. And she might be in, I'm sure she's in some boutiques.
Diane Brill.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She was girlfriends with, okay, here we go again. Remember, who ran Danceteria?
Wasn't she?
Rudolph. Rudolph. Do you remember Rudolph?
I thought it was Peter Gation from, I don't know why.
No, Rudolph was before Peter Gation.
Yes, but I knew of Rudolph. I never met Rudolph.
Yeah.
But Diane was like somebody I'd watch, and like with my, like when I would watch you, I would just sit there and go, oh my God. They're so beautiful. Like, what do you do to get there?
But Diane is a real girl.
She's a biological woman.
Yeah, biological
but
woman.
But I would look at her and just go, how do I be that glamorous? But I always had that New Jersey element that I love to exploit.
Yes,
and
you
it was
do.
Full exploitation because it's...
I mean, you drove a Fiero
that's
for crying
it.
Out
it's
loud.
It's so over the top, and that's how I grew up. So I never... I don't know. I was never the person to live in regret, and I don't like living in regret. Like, I feel like that's how I was raised, and that's who I am. My mother's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So when it came to my drag aesthetic, that's naturally what came out. So for me, thinking about always keeping Diane Brill in my head, I was thinking, what would Diane do? Like, how would I make this more glamorous without being a drag queen, but still being a drag queen?
Well, I have one more question. I know we have a special guest. They're on their way right now.
Bianca Del Rio
is going to be here. But do you have a resistance to dressing the way you did yesterday?
Not at all.
Do you feel like there's a part of you that you are not honoring by being sort of... It wasn't pageant. It was a very... You know what? It looked like a Cosmo cover. It was glamorous, but it wasn't like... way over the top. It wasn't drag.
No, it wasn't. No, it was glamorous, really. That's the best way to put it. I had my Scavullo moment.
You have
with
a
Matthew.
Resistance to that?
Not at all, actually. I've grown into realizing that there's nothing worse to me, nothing worse and nothing better at the same time than when I go to a store and I'll see a lady in, let's say, her late 60s, early 70s, like older.
Late 60s, early, so a young woman.
Young woman. Looking absolutely tartish, leopard, high heels, really bad garage door with the blue eyeshadow, eyeliner. It's crumpling because it's like wrinkly. And part of me is like, that's going to be me. Uh-huh. And that's really sad.
That's kind of hot.
And kind of hot.
Yeah.
So what I decided was, as I transitioned onto the glamour side of me, that I'm never going to lose that.
Right.
And that when I get to be 80 and I'm in a scooter, I'm going to be that.
Right on.
And that's going to be amazing. But while I'm here in this body, I'm actually really enjoying exploring a more glamour side that's just beautiful and I don't know the right words, like all-encompassing.
Yeah, why not?
You know?
Especially you're in business. We're in Hollywood. This is a company town.
Yes,
you want to leave yourself open to every opportunity. Yes. And you've got to let those people see you in lots of different ways.
If I was against it, you know me by now.
Yeah.
I would not do it.
Yeah.
So actually, a lot of the outfits that I actually wore, we have stylists and I love art, but we work together. Half of them have been my own because my taste is changing, because I see things through different eyes now. So when I go shopping, I go, oh, this would look beautiful with this. And and I'm actually like being a girl for a change, and I'm enjoying playing dress up.
Yeah.
I love it. No, I do love it. And thank you for saying that.
It's beautiful. All right. So when we come back, we've got Bianca Del Rio. She's our season 6 winner. I have so many questions to ask her. Wow. What a dynamo.
She's got answers, darling.
Yeah. Okay.
She's got answers.
All right. Right after this. Hey, I want to talk about Boll & Branch sheets for a minute.
I love it.
I just love these sheets so much. You know, we spend so much time in bed. Not you and I.
Oh, well, there goes the illusion. That's all down the crapper.
But you know, we in general, you know, what's the percentage? They used to say this all the time, that we spend like half our lives in bed. We do.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So why not treat yourself right when you are in bed? Why not treat yourself to the best sheets? And you don't have to spend a lot of money.
Mm-mm.
You know, Boll & Branch sheets are inexpensive compared to the department store prices and all the thread counts and the Egyptian cotton, whatever.
Well, did you know that thread counts have nothing to do with quality? Because I thought all along, oh, you know, the higher the thread count.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Is it malarkey?
Yeah, don't even get me started on so-called Egyptian cotton. Did you know Egyptian cotton is just the name of a plant grown in Pakistan and China?
I did not know that.
Neither did I. We have been getting bamboozled.
Yes, we have, madam. Yes, we have.
No more.
But no more.
No more.
Thanks to BollandBranch.com.
Yes, and it's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. You're going to love the sheets as much as we do, and you're going to fall in love that they're actually so sure of it. They're giving you 30 nights to try them out. If you don't love them like Rue and I do for any reason, they're going to take them back, give your money back, no hassle, all done. And It gets better. If you order right now, they're going to give you $50 off a set of sheets plus free shipping. Just like Rue said, go to Boll and Branch, B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Use that promo code. What?
Are you?
Right.
Oh my goodness. Here we go with Squarespace again.
Let's talk.
I love talking about Squarespace because they make making a website so easy.
And in turn, making life so easy.
Yeah. Listen, if you've got a business, if you've got an idea or a hobby that you love and you want to talk about it with all your friends.
Or crap you want to sell.
Exactly. Make yourself a website. Use Squarespace.com. And listen, free trial, Squarespace.com, and no credit card required.
That is so huge. You know, that stops me the most. That's why I have 8 different tabs open in my web, you know, my browser.
Yeah.
Everything's in the checkout cart because I don't feel like getting my ass up to get a credit card.
Really?
You can do this without a credit card.
You can do it without a credit card.
Because I'm lazy.
Well, a lot of people are.
Yes, thank you.
And I think that stops a lot of people. But listen, don't be afraid when it comes to Squarespace. They even have a latest version called Squarespace 7, which has completely redesigned the world of changing focus on your life.
Got it. And interfaces as well.
Interfaces. They have a new feature called Cover Pages. Fantastic. Listen, when you're ready to purchase a plan, get 10% off with the offer code RUE. That's squarespace.com. Offer code RU.
Listen, I'm Jewish. I like everything 10% off.
Oh, Michelle Visage.
Yes, RuPaul.
What's
Andre Charles.
That's he, girl.
There's a lot.
There's so much. First of all, can I talk about the way you looked yesterday?
Sure, okay, you can.
Because Matthew said, he said, I'm going to go and talk to her to convince her. That is the look. Now, for those of you who don't understand, Michelle's been in the business for just under 300 years, you know? And in terms of longevity in this business, especially transitioning to the Los Angeles storyline, Hollywood USA.
Yes.
You know, you got to diversify your brand.
Right.
And I've been saying, you know, what if you, Michelle Visage, was the kind of person who would be hired on like The View or something?
Right.
Why don't you adjust your look to, well, guess what?
What?
She did it yesterday.
That was a pageant look.
It was, okay, now to us, those were the keywords for us, but the truth is, yeah. And we'll get back to this.
Right.
The truth is, yeah. That is the look that will make you the dollars. Okay, but we're going to get back into this because our special guest just walked in the room. Come here,
sit
girl.
Sit down.
And sit here. Finally, we got you. Hi, baby.
How are you?
We finally got you in the seat. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Bianca Del Rio.
Hola.
Yes.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
Bianca Del Rio is in the house.
In the building.
And do you live in Los Angeles now?
Well, I'm fancy. It's my third official day here. I've been paying rent since June, but this is my third day of actually being in Los Angeles. So it's quite lovely.
Third day. Are you paying rent? Is it Compton? Is that where you live?
I'm paying Compton exactly where I live. Well, you know, I did get the money from y'all. So Compton is what it got me. I got a big house in Compton.
Lovely. Stripper pole.
A lot of space. No, it's kind of weird because, you know, when you live in New York for so long, and even before that, I lived in New Orleans in the French Quarter where you don't need a car, you walk everywhere. So it's kind of insane now to have to get into the car and drive everywhere. But yet it's nice because it's good weather here.
Yes.
You know, there's no snow, there's no LaGuardia Airport,
right.
Which they're going to knock down and rebuild.
Yes.
So good luck, everybody, this fall.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of dodged a bullet. So it's nice to be here where it's kind of calm and relaxing.
And you have probably triple the space.
I'm paying $400 more than I paid in New York for a studio.
Right.
And here is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. I got a washer and a pool. I feel like a rich white woman.
You are.
It's true. I mean, technically, I think I'm Oprah, but I'm really more Gail.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
No, I could get
almost
with both.
There. Yeah. Almost there.
With both. Yeah. And so what made you decide? Because I know you've been doing gigs nonstop since you won RuPaul's Drag Race. You are the season
1862.
It's the season 6?
Yes, season 6.
It was season 6 that I won.
Yeah, season 6. That's right. And you've been traveling ever since.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, most of the gigs are Eastern Seaboard. How are you going to manage from the West Coast?
Well, I find that if they want you bad enough, they'll do it. And I'm one of those that say yes to everything.
Sure.
So I've done every bingo, every benefit, every christening, any bar mitzvah. I've said yes to it all. So they'll find a way to make it work.
Do you do bris?
I have.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't want to cut this conversation short, but yeah, it's... No, I mean, there's...
Bianca's actually a moil.
Oh,
could you imagine?
My goodness. Oh, that's great.
I had a moil on my back. My doctor just checked it out.
Did you get it lanced?
I did.
Good.
I got it lanced bass.
Good, Goyle.
No, it's... You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I did find, I mean, I wasn't like leaving New York to move to Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. At least here in Los Angeles, you can fly everywhere. It's, you know, an airport that caters to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I was just ready for a change. You know, it was 10 years in New York, and it gets, you know, when you live in New York, Bunny visits, and that's what you want. You don't want Lady Bunny visiting you. So you're like, I got to get out of here. You know?
What's life been like since you killed Joan Rivers?
Well, it's been pretty amazing.
Your career is just taking off.
It's true. It's kind of surreal. Bunny makes that joke. Bunny says, girl, you don't want to get in the bed with Bianca Del Rio. She's a killer. Look at Joan. She goes, if you don't believe me, you can talk to any of her ex-boyfriends. You're going to have to use a Ouija board.
Were you the last in bed with Joan?
Technically, no. There was Leanne Rimes, who was after me, who really killed her. But I was the one right before. I was hours right before. It was me. Before me was the guy from that TV show Catfish, the cute guy.
Oh, yeah.
Zev?
Much personality. Nev.
Nev.
He was on right before me, and it's actually filmed in Melissa Rivers' house.
Yes, yes.
And you really are in the basement. Mm-hmm. And
Joan said that's the bed that she sleeps in when she stays at
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so you're there and, you know, you don't really know much. Everybody was very formal and very nice, but also kind of, you know, skittish. Because I think, you know, super go clowns sitting in the living room and they were just trying to act like general day of business.
Yeah.
But I was most surprised by that particular day. She had flown in from New York, took the red eye. She'd done Fashion Police that morning and she did four In Bed With Jones back to back.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I was number three.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought everybody was over it. And then we went down and as soon as I got in the room with her, I battled with it because I was like, I'm a huge fan of hers, but yeah. I didn't want to fangirl. And I also didn't want to seem aloof and like I was grand.
Right.
But immediately we hit it off and we cackled. And uh-huh. She was so kind and so much fun. And we were supposed to film, I think 17 minutes was the amount. But we did an hour of us just talking shit about everybody. And then she was like, Melissa was like, turn off the cameras. Because we started talking about certain people.
Yeah.
But she was great. And then when it was done, she couldn't have been nicer. And she was like, I told her goodbye, and then I went upstairs, and Melissa was like, do you want to come say goodbye to my mother? And I thought I just did.
Yeah.
But sure, sign me up. So I went into the kitchen, and there was like six queens and two dogs, mm-hmm. and I told her, I said how much she meant to me and how brilliant she was and how I admired her work ethic, you know, 82 and on that schedule and doing it. And she was very sweet, and she gave me a gift, and I felt flattered till I got into the car and realized it was some cheap QVC shit, some scarf and a hat that I could have got online. But it was very sweet. It was kind of one of those surreal moments when you're like, how cool is that? You know, she didn't have to do that. She didn't have to be kind. She didn't have to. So I had far more respect for her after, aside from the fact that she was just a hoot.
Funny as shit. Just so funny. And, you know, I started working with her after I appeared on her afternoon show, the Joan Rivers show.
Yes.
Can We Shop?
Can We Shop? Yes. All those shows. I worked with her constantly through the years. And I'd known her for 20 years.
Amazing.
20 years working for her. I opened for her at the Brooklyn Academy of Music for a gig. And it was all of these people over 65.
Yeah.
And here I am saying, you better work.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. But she, and I opened for her all
and
over the
my
place.
Mother saw you do it in Atlantic City.
In Atlantic City I opened for her. And she was always great to me. And I remember the last time I was on Fashion Police, she said, how many years have we known? She's 19 years.
Wow.
19 years.
What I thought was always great about her, I remember being a kid and when she had the Joan Rivers daytime talk show that she would have Jimmy James on. She would have Lip Synca on. And it was never about, you know, the topic was never drag queens who eat baby food.
Right.
You know, it was like serious talent.
Like Geraldo.
Like Lip Synca came on and did a whole segment, which I thought was genius. She was always very kind to queens without being degrading, which was kind of amazing.
She felt like an outsider her whole life. She felt like, you know, the way a gay, you know, entertainer would feel because, you know, she's this woman. She you know, was the pioneer for female comics of that sort.
Yes.
So
truly,
just amazing. And in the work ethic, I remember when she won the Emmy for that daytime talk show.
Yeah. The Joan Rivers Show was called, right? And then she did Can We Shop After.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
She had an article in New York Times, and I remember it reading, she said, when I get home, I fall asleep on the bed. I am exhausted. I collapse on the bed with my makeup on, and I wake up, you know, in the morning with the full makeup. And I know that I'm doing the right thing because I get home and I'm so exhausted. I never forgot that. I remember,
it's genius.
And this is before everything happened for me.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's what it has to be like.
Totally.
You know? Now, has it been like that for you since you won?
Well, I mean, let me tell you. First of all, I've always said thank you, and I've always been, you know, very fair about it because of the show. No, come on. I mean, TV is a powerful thing, and the amazing thing about it is, I mean, Michelle and I know this. I mean, we've been able to work together several times and see each other, is that the impact is insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing to think that people in your hometown know you. One thing to think people in New York know you. But, like, to go to Australia. I went to Australia to do my show, which is an hour and a half of me just being hateful. And it's like Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide, where, I mean, a legitimate theater where it's 1,100 seats and you're doing two shows a night. That it's like, it's the same thing I would have done any place else or in New York or, you know, any bar that called me. It's fascinating to get to do this on that level. And television is the thing. And how they love the show and how they love you guys. Never so much Santino, but they always say that, you know, they always ask me about them. What are they like? And what, you know, and then it turns into other people, which you don't expect, where Neil Patrick Harris will tweet you and say how much he loves you, or Margaret Cho or Alan Cumming. Yeah. It's kind of surreal that it reaches that many people. Like, you're watching the show, you know, and have an opinion. It's overwhelming. And I mean, the work is unreal, you know, is that you just get to go to visit all these places and. Come on, you get to. I get to spread my hate and have a good time.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Is it what you expect? Now, having been on the show and having watched the show before you were on the show, you know, we put the girls through a lot. They're sleep deprived. Deprecation.
That too.
Deprecation.
That's it.
Who's from Compton now?
She's going back to her roots.
She got a show.
She too. She got a few.
She got 18 shows. Ruth.
And I wonder, from having been on the other side, what is it like? How do you describe it to people?
Well, I think, two things, because people automatically assume, and I think one of the interesting things about seeing last season and seeing girls that were younger is that they grew up with the show. Right. So it's kind of like, they're like, oh, I remember seeing the first episode and this is what I've experienced. Where for me, I'd done drag long and didn't think the show was right for me. I thought, oh, I don't know if they're going to get me. My sense of humor may not translate. You know, you just don't know. And then you get to do this. And then a lot of the younger kids see that you're traveling the world and that you're going from one city to the next without realizing that there's work involved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you said, you don't sleep.
Right.
But when people say, oh, you must be exhausted, I go, well, I'm not fucking flying the plane.
Right.
I'm sitting there sipping a Bloody Mary. And on occasion, I'm very sweet. I'll order that second Bloody Mary and pass it to Courtney Act in the back. I did that to her once. It was so funny. We were on a flight together and she was in coach. Let me just say that again. She was in coach.
Yeah.
And I purposely sent her a drink through the
stewardess. Who are we talking about?
Courtney.
Who's that?
Courtney Act. But it was funny. No, you know I love her. But I sent her a drink and I told the stewardess, do me a favor, just tell her it's from her boss in the front seat.
That's amazing.
But she had a great story too. She was in coach once. Second time. And this flight attendant queen that worked in the front said, I'm going to bring you these slippers. I'm going to bring you this robe. Everything from first class. She goes, there's no fucking room in the back for all this shit.
Right.
Can you just move me to first?
Right, right. But the experience of making the show, being on the set and being back there doing the challenges, you were fine with it.
I was fine with it because I knew this. I knew that I couldn't control the environment and I couldn't control what was being thrown at me. I could only control myself. Therefore, I like with the type of things that I do, I like being thrown to the wolves. Mm-hmm. I like being in the moment. So it was kind of like, hey, I wasn't going to argue with you guys. I signed up for the show. If you're going to critique me, critique me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, but I wasn't going to sit back and say, well, fuck you. I think this. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my nature. I thought, you know what? I stood up for this. You don't like this. You don't like that. That's fine. I didn't feel less of myself. I just thought, okay, that's what they thought.
Right.
And also with even challenges that I won and challenges that I didn't do well in, because, you know, you're out there for a long period of time, I would go backstage and just take it all with a grain of salt. And I thought, okay, what's next? You know, granted, I might have won that one, but tomorrow's a whole nother story. So it was never a question of me getting into my own head. I couldn't do that. And in situations, these queens, when you put them in this pressure cooker, they start losing their fucking minds.
Yes, yes.
Which is genius.
Yeah.
But for me, I just thought back, you know, I said, I wanted to take up smoking just to go, you done? You know, because I wanted to let that worry me, you know? And even now with critics and people on social media, everybody's got something to say about you. But my favorite is they go, she wore the same dress every episode. I said, and won. And yes. won. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, you know, why attempt to do things that you couldn't complete?
Right.
Therefore, if I had a limited amount of time, I'm going to make a dress that I know I can hem.
Well, that's...
You might be creative over here with your bullshit, but that's not what I do.
Well, that's the greatness of being a seasoned queen, knowing your own body, know sure. what silhouettes work for you. And then, you know, that's what I understand. Queens who come here and this basically takes a week to learn how to sew.
Yeah.
Right? And then without a pattern or a silhouette in mind for them.
Right.
Say, oh, I could do this with that. I don't understand that. I really don't understand
or
that.
Or it's like going to the Olympics and saying, oh, I got to swim.
Yeah.
Asshole. It's yeah. part of the criteria.
Well,
part of
at
the criteria.
This point, there's always an excuse because, listen, neither you nor I know how to sew. Let's call it what it is.
Well, I know how to sew.
You know enough, but I don't know if I could sit down. I can maybe thread a bobbin and sew a straight line.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Straight.
Right. So I.
You're so rude. Straight line.
Some kind of a line. I don't
at
know.
At least a zigzag. Because yeah. you do go
a
back
squiggle.
And forth.
Yeah. But and I'm not judging who can and can't, even for us in our thing, because we're not competing. But you can be damn sure if we were, I would have known how to sew at yeah. least a basic pattern that works for me, right. just like you said. Or you know Snatch Game is going to be here. You need to get your characters together.
Yes.
There's things that there are no excuses for. Right. There are some that maybe they're okay.
Sure.
And maybe acting isn't your thing, but get together those characters.
Of course.
You don't have to take a scene study class if you can't afford it, but you can hop on YouTube or sure. There's a million things you could do so you have no excuses.
But right. I think that's what's missing from a lot of people's perception of this is that they see television, they think, I'm going to go on there and I'm going to be fierce. Well, you know what? You're not always, there's always somebody prettier, there's always somebody younger, there's always yes. somebody more talented. The thing is, know what you can do. Like, don't wait for them to make this assumption of
right.
you. Just because your friends tell you you're fierce doesn't mean you are.
Yeah.
Great advice I got from Chita Rivera. I remember seeing Chita Rivera in Spider Woman. I was 17 years old and she's there and I thought, truly one of the most brilliantly talented people you're ever going to see on stage. I thought the whole show was being done for me. You know, I'm like, this is, she is doing this. Granted, I'm in the back, Compton, but she is doing the show for me. And after I got to meet her and I was like, how is it that you can do this? And I've seen her probably 10 times in the same show. And she was just as fabulous as she always was. And she says, every night you have to prove that you deserve to be out there mm-hmm. because there's somebody in the audience that's going to go, oh, Chita Rivera didn't kick high enough. Chita Rivera didn't deliver. Mm-hmm. Every night you've got to prove it. And mm-hmm. at that time she was 62 years old
wow.
in that show, tearing it up. I just saw her in the
she's
visit.
She's in the visit now.
And she's 82. Yeah.
My
you know,
goodness.
Still doing it. And it's just one of those things.
Lansbury's coming back and she's what, 90?
She's close.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
my
crazy.
God.
But it's that work ethic, too. It's like every night you have to prove it.
Yeah.
There's no time to rest, you know?
Now, one of the things I think that the audience doesn't understand is how much time the queens are standing on the runway in their heels.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you describe the kind of pain you're in when that's happening?
Well, for me, the feet weren't the pain. The pain was listening to the shit some of these people say and the sorry excuses they had. I mean,
you
girl,
mean the other girls on the runway with
girl,
you?
Girl, some of those people. But once again, you know, anything, if you know anything about television or movies, that, you know, you sit, wait,
you
sit,
wait,
wait sit, yeah. wait. But also in this situation, which people often ask about is how is the process? What is it about? You know, I'm like, look, we don't have weeks to get chummy. It happens day to day. It's a quick process. But I think people start losing their minds a little too early or get too trapped up in their minds.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you know how we don't get social media. We don't have Facebook. We don't have any of that. And people said, what did you do? I said, took a nap and read a book. That's what old people did.
That's right.
You know, Yusebek, I actually brought with me, it was so funny. I brought my diary that I was writing while I was here.
Uh-huh.
And halfway through, I got, you know, not even interested in writing anymore. But it was funny what you go through at that point because I had never been that into just what I had in front of
right,
me.
Right,
you know,
right.
Usually I'm like figuring out how to pay my rent. Usually I'm dealing with my dogs. Usually I'm dealing with my laundry. Here, I got here in this situation where you could be here for more than a month or you could be here 2 days.
Sure.
The point was roll with the punches.
Yes.
I had nothing else to worry about. I was fed. I had a hotel room.
Uh-huh.
Somebody told me where to go. And that's just what you had to do. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing crazy about it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break, but I want to know from you, was there a point in the competition where you thought, I think this is it. I'm going to go home.
Oh, several, but yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
I'll
what
fill you
what
in.
Challenges?
If she kept wearing them shoes, she was going to go home.
They're not as bad as Darian's marshmallow
oh,
shoes.
Agreed. I'll give you that. I'll give
Don't
you that. I'll give you that.
I said, tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and then I want you to answer me that. What point did you think your ass was grass? Right after this message.
Don't even get me started on Egyptian cotton.
Honey.
Shit, I could talk about that for hours. I could do a podcast alone on Egyptian cotton. Some Cleopatra bullshit. Don't get me started on no King Tut shit.
My goodness, Michelle, I'm in love with my Boll & Branch.
I told you.
BollandBranch.com has revolutionized my bed game, honey.
Oh, no.
It has. You know, I've spent so much money on sheets over the years in department stores. Mm-hmm. You know, the high thread count, the all this craziness. Little did I know, all I had to do was go to Boll & Branch and get the most beautiful, relaxing sheets I've ever had in my whole life.
Don't you hate that? You search all over the world. You finally find them. Here, take my kidney. Just give me those sheets. And then you come home and you're like, oh.
They've made it so easy.
BollandBranch.com. B-O-L-L and Branch.com. I take my fitted sheet. I slap it over my Casper mattress and I am set for the night.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Literally for about half the price of what stores and boutiques would charge you. And here's the cool thing. They're so sure that you're going to fall in love with their sheets that they're going to give you 30 nights to try them out. If you don't love them, send them back. No hassle. And also, if you order right now, they're going to give you $50 off a set of sheets plus free shipping. If you go to BollandBranch.com, use the promo code RUE, R-U. And here's the best thing besides the sheets, which is the obvious. Boll & Branch, they don't mess with no sweatshop,
right?
Garbage.
Yeah.
And everything they do is fair trade certified. They're on the up and up, and they donate a portion of their sales to help fight human trafficking. They are good people over there at Boll & Branch.
They're good people. And what's that thing you were saying about Egyptian cotton?
It's a myth.
Is it?
Egyptian cotton ain't from the Sphinx. It ain't from King Tut's spit. Egyptian cotton is a plant that grows in Pakistan and China.
You are kidding me.
No, so it's all, we all bought the hype. But well, Boll & Branch broke it down.
They broke it down, and they have such a great product. Yeah. Just go to BollandBranch.com. Offer code RU. All right, we are back with Bianca Del Rio. She won season six of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Doesn't it all mesh into one?
It's one thing.
Real, literally, when I do the Battle of the Seasons tour, I go on stage and I go, from season four, please welcome. And everybody's going, five! Like, it's, I'm not even kidding. It's terrible. Yeah. They are rude.
They're rude.
They don't care.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it does. It all meshes together. It seems like it's all just one big glomp.
It is.
A thing. Now,
of
so
talent.
You were season six and you won. Was there ever a time when you thought, uh-oh, I think this is it. I think I'm going to get eliminated.
Well, I was never in the bottom. But there was moments, though, that I did question it. And one of the main things that was challenging, what I like about the process, like I said, it goes quickly, so I didn't have much time to think. But one of the ones that really bothered me was the comedy challenge, because here it was, you know, and you even brought it up within the workroom. You were like, oh, well, we're expecting it to be funny. And then it's just like, fuck you.
Right.
Inside,
right.
Well, that's a shady fucking comment. Yeah. But you're thinking to yourself, you know, like, what do I do? So I sat there and I wrote all this other material. And I'm not a good writer. I don't do well with, this is a joke. Mm-hmm. For me, it comes from situations. Mm-hmm. But then I also had experience of what I'd done in the bars all these years. And I was concerned that that wouldn't translate to television, that what I might have been doing confidently for many years might have come across as crass or rude to a television group that don't know me. So there we were. And then Jocelyn had done the lineup. And she put me last. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the few challenges where we could watch everyone else do their challenge.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm going, do I do the material that I'm supposed to do? Or do I just do what I would normally do? And after seeing six queens bomb, I went, fuck it. Here we go. But I didn't know. And I remember walking away going, I don't know. I don't know what happened. So that was a nerve-wracking moment, because I thought either they're going to get it or they're not. And I didn't know which way it was going to go.
Yeah, but you won that challenge.
I did. But you know what I mean? It's like saying, going in and saying, well, I'm a dancer. I'm a dancer. I'm a dancer. And here's this dance moment. And, you know, you're going to look at things a little differently.
Would that have crushed you if you didn't win that comedy challenge?
If I would have gone home, it would have crushed me. Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, you really can't, you know, for me, it was like, ooh, still floating. Good. No complaints. Yeah. Let's just roll.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, what can I do about what's been done? Yeah. You know, and granted, Darian Lake was very funny that episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just don't know. You don't know what they're going to go for, which I wouldn't have thought less of the show had they not liked me. Look, it's a matter of opinion. Like I said, that's what I signed up for.
Right.
Had I gone home with some of those other horrible bitches, I would have been angry. That would have been fine. I'd have had one of those LaGanja meltdowns.
Now, you bring up LaGanja. You know, she's a young queen. And, and we get a lot of young kids in here. And, you know, with seasoned queens.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a great divide of generations of how things are done and how the young ones are doing things. What do you think? Was that difficult dealing with some of the younger ones and their aesthetic and their reasoning behind their decisions?
And their indignation. Like, they're so indignant. They know everything and don't want to hear otherwise.
Well, I think when I was a kid, I thought the same thing. I thought I knew everything. But I also had a lot of older queens that were around me, you know, both drag queens and just theater queens that gave me really good advice that really didn't apply until I was here. Mm. So it was one of those things where, you know, you do what you do. And of course, we get into a rut. I like a bottom lash. I like a white line. Laganja likes saying what she's saying, you know, whatever. And it doesn't please everybody. But it was frustrating for me just to hear it constantly every day. So I didn't fault them for being young. I just kind of thought, somebody likes it. May not be my cup of tea.
Right.
Since then, I've gotten to know her. And she's a really sweet queen. And she's very talented. But in that moment, you know, I was ready to fucking kill her, you know. And it's that kind of a thing where I give everybody the benefit of the doubt for a minute. But the problem, I think, with queens in general is they see something working for someone else. So they might have seen another season where somebody was cunty and smart. Yeah? So they come in and you can't plan that. You know, you can't recreate smart when it's not working for you.
Yeah.
Do what you do.
We've talked about that before. It's when they come in and try to produce themselves.
Girl, twirl, spin. I can't do that. Do a death drop. Knock yourself out. Right. But I think when they see something work for someone else, they think, oh, I should do it. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why our season, Ben de la Creme, I'm so sweet, I love everyone, made me fucking batshit crazy because she really was kind of a cunt off camera. And then we were on the runway and she said something like, well, we all can't sail through like
Bianca. That's what it was.
And I was just like.
But you took it really bad.
Because I was like, I helped you, you fucking troll. Uh-huh. And this is still a competition, but I thought that was like a condescending, backhanded.
But to me, to I don't know if you felt it that way. To
what was the comment she made?
She said, well, just that. She said,
well, you asked us who should go home, which is the shadiest question.
It is the shadiest question.
And again, everybody knows they're going to get it.
Yeah. But what did she,
she said, we all can't sail through like Bianca. But the way she said it was not shady. Mm-mm. She put two horns on her head and started doing the bull thing like she was wearing red. And El Toro was going to knock her down. The way I read it as a judge, it did not sound shady.
Well, to me, it was just like,
it was a fact, which was true. You were sailing through.
That skirt you wear and I cut for you, you
twat.
No,
but that's the way it came across was, you're sailing through because you have the talent and we're not all as talented as Bianca.
Well, she didn't finish that statement, so I took it a different way. Right. And that's one of the things when I thought, oh, these hoes are going to try to get ruthless, you know? And that was one of the things that I went, that's when it clicked. I'm like, oh, she came for me in my mind. And nobody's going to tell me any different. Girl, 3 hours later after Untuck, oh, I'm sailing through the competition. I wouldn't shut up about it. I got to get on my boat, you know? I still do it to her. You got a dock so I can park? You know, it was one of those things in the moment. And that's when I kind of thought, maybe I'm getting in my head. You know, it's like, the end is near. But the other one that got me too was when we did the last challenge, the Sissy That Walk video. It's like 10,000 things to do. I'm not an acclaimed dancer by any means. And I just thought, this is it. They put me on a treadmill that's green. I can't see out of the corner of my eye because of my fucking eyelashes in these cheap ass shoes I'm wearing. So Michelle would shut up and not complain about the other ones. But it was like a lot going on. And then throw a fan on me. Okay. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not gonna last.
Yeah, right.
So that's when I thought it was over. It was that's the last thing. One. I thought, you know what? I'm going home. I'm happy with what it is.
The last one's not for sissies.
No, it's not. No.
Did you watch the season? Did you watch the season you're on?
Well, the first few episodes I watched in a bar with people because I was doing viewings. Like I said, I agree to everything.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of viewings in the bar, which was kind of awkward because I, at that point, months later, I had in my head what I remembered. Right. And at moments, I'm like, oh, God, I said that. Right. Or I can't believe. I mean, I got back from Drag Race and was telling my friends I was cool. I was calm. Uh-huh. I didn't come after anybody till later in the episodes. Yeah. And in the first episode, I'm just, fuck her. She's a cunt. She's this. She's that. I'm like, maybe I have a different perception. Some time has passed. And I forgot about it.
Yeah.
But I watched up until a certain point, and then it got uncomfortable to watch it in front of other people.
Right.
And then I would skim it when I would watch it online, but I haven't gone back to it.
Yeah.
Because
it's,
you know, people are like, well, I knew from day one. I'm like, well, of course you know that because you're seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, for us, you know, it's long days and a lot happens, and I didn't know who was left at the bus stop. I don't know who had a disease.
No, when you're in it, it's
I don't know. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know she cried every 5 minutes. You know, it wasn't part of my world.
Did you just say, I didn't know who was left at a bus stop? I didn't know who had a disease?
That's I didn't know, because exactly that all happens in the confessionals. And you know
that's exactly what he said.
That's why I didn't think I was going to win. I didn't have any of that.
Nobody was left at a bus stop
Nobody
on your season.
Me. Nobody left me. You know, there was no bus stop. There was no disease.
Well, then what was the raft?
Yeah, well, the raft, that was different. But I'm going to tell you this, too. I was also one of those where, you know, I mean, I got crazy people in my family. And, what you know, when I was interviewed to be a part of the show, they said, how's your family? Wonderful. Any ex-boyfriends? Not a one. I thought, I'm not going on TV and people are going to make me look bad.
Please tell Rue the story about your mother with the picture on Facebook. Please, because it's so good.
My mother's crazy. My mother's from Cuba, and she's not really good with English and stuff. Yeah. So she's now mastering the whole Facebook and social media thing, and she thinks she's a celebrity. So
Sidebar. She goes on the cruise. She shows up, comes up to me, not with this one, just by herself.
Because I left her.
She throws her arms around me. She's like, oh! And I'm like, churro, yes! She's like, she puts up 10 nails in front of my face. They all have Bianca's face on them, her eyes, her name. And she's like, I'm Bianca's mother. And I'm like, yes, you are.
Yeah, Who would play her, Michelle? Rita Moreno?
Rita Moreno with a blonde page boy wig.
A little worse, a little worse. Yeah.
But then, so the mother starts to learn how to tag people in a post.
So recently, I had posted a photo, and it was this headshot that I had reposted. And I was in London, and it's in the middle of the night. And then a friend calls me, and I'm like, you know, you don't want to answer your phone in London because like roaming rates, you know, I ain't got that kind of money yet. Right. So then my friend's like, you know, you need to go to Facebook.
Mother's name is Aida.
Aida. She spells it A-I-D-A.
Uh-huh. Okay. Aida.
Right.
To us.
Yeah.
But she, of course, is on Facebook. So she saw this picture of me and she wanted to repost it. So she tried to put her name on it. So of course, next thing you know, my friend's like, girl, your mother has a picture up with your face and it says AIDS. A-I-D-S on it. Like, I'm the poster child for AIDS. And I'm like, that's so...
So she call her.
I call her and I go.
The S is right next to the A.
So I said, "What is this? I was trying to spell my name. I don't know. I would never put in the picture." So this was 20-minute discussion.
Oh my god!
It just says AIDS.
Oh my god!
Yeah, mom.
That's crazy. So did your old friends come out of the woodwork and
they
say?
All did. Well, they all think I have a dollar now.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny, but you know how that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is interesting. My favorite was I hadn't spoken to my ex when I filmed the show for at least 7 years. Mm. So he was like, you know, he was on some cruise ship. Uh-huh. Which is why I didn't want to bring him up. She was backup vocals on a Caribbean cruise line. But he didn't know I was on the show. And so all these queens were like, let's go watch Drag Race. And so they watched it. He almost shit a brick when he saw me. So he said, you know, every episode he thought I was going to bring him up. And that's when I was like, you know, I'm not going to tell stories where I look bad, motherfucker. Yeah, so I wasn't going
to
mention him.
That was 7 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And I also said it wouldn't be fair for me to say something hateful about him when I haven't spoken to him.
Yeah.
You know, I had no comment. So yeah. So now everything's fine. Actually, after the show is one of the reasons why we actually can talk now.
Right.
Which is kind of good.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Kind of soften the blow.
Now, let's just talk about the money. Now, a lot of people think that...
TV money.
Yeah, TV money. You know, there's taxes to be paid.
On
that money. Really?
Yeah.
And a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Because if you talk to some of these queens...
Not me, bitch. Not me.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, you mean some of them, Michelle, don't?
99% of
don't.
Them.
You're kidding.
And managers will constantly say... You need to do this. I've set it up. You need to, and they go, and now.
Well, you know, because on Judge Judy, she asked people if they're paying their taxes. And she says, you know, the people from the IRS, they watch the show.
Of course.
So they know.
Well, anytime that you have, you know, but anytime you're putting more than $10,000 in the bank, you know, it's a red flag. You got to fill out all this paperwork. And I mean, I'm 40, bitch. I ain't fucking with the law now.
Right.
And the thing is with them is that, you know, as long as you deal with them in the past, you know, I never had tons of money, but it was always like, here's $5 today.
Sure.
Like Wimpy, give me the hamburger.
I'll gladly pay you too.
But now it was like, you know, you can't not do that. So I have a little queenie friend that was an accountant who I never thought was useful till now. And because he wasn't Jewish, he wasn't really good enough. But he works for Price Waterhouse. And I was like, queen, he's like, it's going to cost. I'm like, if they can count the votes for the Oscars, they can handle my taxes.
Yes.
Because I didn't want any questions at all.
Right.
But yet when you had to pay that amount of money, it did hurt. Mentally, but that's found money. You know, I'm not living that life right now.
Exactly.
I'm not sitting eating bonbons. And
it does hurt though, because we get no payback.
Well, no, I mean,
so it does hurt.
It sucks, but come on, I've traveled the world and I've made more money than I ever have.
Yeah,
so I have to look at that side of it.
Gratitude.
You know?
Yes.
That's how I look at it. That's exactly because I pay a lot of taxes and
of course
I pay
you do.
It on time.
You got to.
I do not.
No Wesley Snipes up in here.
That kills me. It's like, how do you think you can get away with that?
Yeah, there's no way you can. But I think we do get a payoff, and I'm not just going to do. some patriotic thing.
Okay, let's have a moment.
This country is...
Come on.
Like, we have traveled the world.
Okay.
This is absolutely the most beautiful, most incredible country in the world.
Who are you trying to get white from right now? Who is on your tail?
No, it's true, though. It's true. And, you know, especially when you travel, you get to understand, oh, my God, we have it so good.
We do. Totally. We do. But there's also things, don't even get me started on.
There are.
Healthcare.
Donald Trump. Yeah, a lot of issues.
There's a lot of that.
So, but yes, absolutely. I think we're all in this room proud to be Americans.
So I know that you moved to Los Angeles. Did you splurge on anything?
I haven't spent any money on anything.
Did you get a car yet?
Not yet. I haven't.
Because are you gonna? Because you haven't driven in 100 years.
Yes. How dare you judge me? Now I can afford someone to drive me.
Yes, that doesn't last forever.
What are you doing later?
Picking up your car, apparently.
Michelle would love it if you picked. We should do a video of you being an Uber. You picking people up. Goodness. That'd be genius.
That would be great.
It would be funny, though. They would keep you. They'd be like, yes, Michelle.
If you mean only West Hollywood.
Well, that. Or New York or, you know, anywhere.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't splurged on anything yet. There's nothing I really wanted because there's nothing that I really want. Yeah. You know, I mean, a car would be great, which would be a huge expense. Funny story. I was in New York at home and I was on Facebook and I was scrolling and Adore had posted that she bought a car for her and her mother. And Jamie, who's my friend of mine for 17 years that travels with me, was with me. And I was like, she bought a car. Uh-huh. I said, she fucking bought a car. And he goes, look closely. The bitch bought two. I said, two cars. I said, who the fuck? Because in my brain, I'm thinking that's a huge expense and a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I said, can I buy a car? He goes, you could buy 10 cars. Yeah. I said, oh, okay. In that case, fine. She can have a car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was weird because I don't think I need it. So why have it?
Yeah, why waste the money on
it? Well, it's
right
always,
now.
Yeah, know? we've talked about that here with money and, you know, people who win the lottery are broken in 5 years.
Totally.
What is your relationship with abundance and money and winning and being a star?
Well, the advantage for me, I'm too controlling and I'm too cheap. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, what could I possibly, I mean, I love name brand stuff, but I don't need Louis Vuitton luggage. I see what the airlines does to my Samsonite.
Yeah.
At least with Samsonite, the wheel gets broken. I can send it back. So sure. I've got 18 Samsonites that I keep rotating, but they fix it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're out on the road every day. So that's something I don't need. The extravagance of it all. Luckily with what I do and how fortunate because of this television show, I get to, you know, all my expenses paid to go to another country to go and perform. On occasion, I might have the day before, the day after when it's European or out of the way. And everything is done. So for me, it's just all I got to do is show up and be hateful. It's basically like working at the DMV, but winning the lottery.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, I don't even have bulletproof glass.
No.
Or that filter you used on season one. You know, it's that kind of a thing where I get to do what I love and get paid. So even if I'm having a bad day, even if I'm delayed, even if, you know, I haven't seen my dogs in months, you sit back and you go, come on, this is a good fucking golden ticket, you know, which most people don't get. But if it would have been given to me at 20, I think I would have totally, you know, been that statistic or been that douchebag.
I think all of us would have.
I think so.
I know how I was at 20 and 21. Sure. Even as grateful as I was to be in seduction at that age, I am a way different person now.
Yeah.
But, you know, as much as I try to tell my daughters that, it's like you can't tell somebody, you can't force them to feel what you've lived.
Right. No, but they will remember it because that's what happened to me. And like I was saying with the Drag Race experience and being here and when people are saying, oh, you're helping people and you're doing this. Well, that's just your nature. That's just what I was taught back when you got a crooked eyelash, bitch, let me help you. You know, I got an extra comb, whatever.
Well, but you didn't help Gia Gunn.
Well, I have enough glue. Didn't have enough glue, girl. I couldn't do surgery. I was saying that bitch, it's like one eye looking at me, the other one playing pool. You know what I mean? She's the perfect type of mistress you want to have because if she's in bed getting fucked, she can also keep an eye on the door to see when your husband's coming. Because, you know, the husband always comes before you do.
Yeah, always. But, always.
It's one of those things where, you know, it's just what you would do. Sure. And other people taught me that. And well, it wasn't an intentional thing. It wasn't like, oh, let me set this up.
It wasn't a strategy.
No, you can't really have a strategy when you hear other than pay attention, motherfucker. Yeah. It's all there for the taking. And do what you're told.
Be you and do your best.
Well, when they say line up for that runway, bitch, line up.
Yes.
And these hoes, I need to glue my nails. I need to do this. I go, there are cameras everywhere.
Yes, yes.
When they say don't talk, don't talk.
Right.
You know, pay attention.
It's not brain surgery.
No, but I think that what you're talking about, especially with young kids, it has to do, you know, I think they can intellectualize what that information is.
Yeah.
They can't own it emotionally. No. So, and that's what time will teach you.
That's
you
why know? They say with age comes wisdom. And I wish there was a pill or something that you could do to take what I know,
right,
or what you know that you want to give these kids and say, trust me, because saying trust me is my daughter Lily's first instinct is to go, now I don't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the rebel in her, you were a rebel, I was a rebel, sure, still are,
yeah,
in a way that, you know, when you tell people that, they're not going to respond. So when we tell these queens and we give them constructive criticism, especially the young ones, I get the eye up and you don't know what you're talking about and don't, right, tell me what to do, bitch, because I know what I do and I do, yeah, it well.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, uh-huh, so it's that thing. And that follows through in life. A 20, 21-year-old kid knows everything.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You can't tell them otherwise. So, of course, you would have been different at 20 or 21 than you were at 40.
But I also think, you know, this experience, which I thought in many ways, excuse me, what I thought worked for me was I had it all set. And then you get to come do the show and it totally changed my life.
You're like,
and
no, I don't.
No, yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, you know, you get stuck into what it is. And then you have a lot of yes people around you and you have people saying, well, this is it. And, you know, you're thinking, well, I'm working, I'm cool, I'm set. But it, that becomes your, how do I explain it? It's just kind of like the way it is until you get to sit back and look at it, because I wasn't clouded by anything else.
Right.
I could go back to my hotel room at the end of this very long day and be tired and think, oh, maybe that does look fucked up with that white eyeliner.
Right.
Maybe I should put a little black. And yeah, then 3 episodes later, I'm a raccoon and you still don't like it. But it's, you know what I mean? Not, she, wait, was
there's
I
a be, happy medium, darling, wait, and you found
she
it.
She called me a raccoon, not because of my makeup, because I was going through her trash. But it's just that thing when I put myself in that situation, I knew I had to be myself as a genuine person. But if they say, we want to see your hair this way, try it,
yeah,
you know? But there were certain things that I wouldn't budge on. You know, I wasn't, yeah, going to argue,
right,
it unless I felt it was that important. But it's just drag. So what could I possibly say?
Exactly.
This liner defines me. I couldn't do that.
No.
We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about this something you've done that's really smart and really clever. You are making a movie called
Hurricane Bianca.
Hurricane Bianca. I can't wait. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the movie Hurricane Bianca.
Awesome.
Let's talk about Squarespace.
All right.
Now, we love our friends and listeners who go to Squarespace and make these websites. You can get started with a free trial at squarespace.com with no credit card required. And a lot of our listeners go and write us letters at rupaulpodcast@gmail.com and talk about their good experience with Squarespace.
Yes, you can drop us an email at rupaulpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can tweet me. I'll retweet it. And we love seeing your websites. This one, we got an email from Russ Wilson. And Russ says, hey, guys, big fan of the show, big fan of Drag Race, even bigger fan of you two for all that you do for the community. Now, people have been telling me for years that I have a good voice and should market myself for voiceovers and narrations. I knew that having my own website would be the best tool I could use. And he's absolutely right. Right.
Because, yeah,
when we go, we look for people and people in the business, they go right to your website.
Sure.
So Russ, this was really smart. He said, inspired by the many testimonials you read on the show, I decided to try Squarespace. I built a beautiful website in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Registered a domain name, got a custom email address set up so that I can spread my demo out to potential clients. I can't thank you enough. Never stop what you're doing. That's from Russ. And Russ's website, such a gorgeous voice. You can check it out. Russ Vox, which is always, that's what stands for vocals on the,
yes,
board when you're,
yeah,
recording, VOX.
Right.
So it's russvox.com.
It's just so easy. Making a website has never been easier. Now, when you're ready to purchase a plan, get 10% off with the offer code RU. That's squarespace.com, offer code RU. We are back with Bianca Del Rio. She is the winner from season 6,
wow,
of RuPaul's Drag Race. She got that $100,000.
Well, almost. Well, after taxes.
After that, yeah.
I got 52.
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah.
They forget that.
You got to pay the man. Mm-hmm. And you've done something really smart. You have a movie. You're filming it right now.
We just wrapped. We,
oh,
just,
great,
wrapped as of yesterday.
And,
oh,
you were,
excellent,
filming in Dallas?
We're filming Dallas, Texas in the heat for 18 days.
Oh, my God. How is the drag in the heat in Dallas?
Girl, and I'm from New Orleans. I'm used to that heat, but it's something, you know, like you said, once you got a couple dollars, it's hard to go back.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
But it was pretty interesting. He was very smart. A very good friend of mine named Matt Kugelman, who's an editor for CBS News and in New York. And he was, he's an aspiring filmmaker. And about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, he had this idea for this movie. And he's like, I want to work with you and I want to make this happen. So technically it's not my movie. It's, mm-hmm, his movie that he's written for me. And there's been several incarnations since,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, script revisions and different things that he changed around. And then we had done a crowdfunding campaign right before I did Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got on Drag Race, and we couldn't tell anybody that I was on the show because I only had so much time, and then I had to come and film the show. So everybody thought I had taken the money and gone to Mexico to buy titties. But, well...
Because you're so feminine.
Well, it's just so rude to think if I would buy titties, I wouldn't buy them in Mexico. I mean, that's where you buy drugs or a burro, but not titties. But...
You'd go to Miami, obviously.
I would go to Miami. Yeah. It's closer. And there's a resort. So I couldn't talk about it. And then I did the show. And then, of course, you start traveling immediately and you're out on the road. So you really don't get to spend much time doing what you want to do. But it was lurking. So we did another crowdfunding campaign. Of course, we got a lot more money because the television's a powerful thing. And this past month was the first chance we could actually film it. And the weird thing is that... what it's about is, well, you know, everybody's putting out an album. All you girls, they want to sing and they want to put out an album. Yes. People are like, you should do a comedy album. I said, all these hoes beat me to it. Yeah. Listen to them sing. That's comedy. Trust me. No. You don't want to hear me sing. I was considering an album called Bianca Hates Christmas, where Christmas carols just play in the background and I talk about all the things I hate.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But at least one song. You don't have to do the whole album.
I know how to do a medley.
Oh, you don't need to do that. Medley's great. Go with the medley.
Oh, it's all back to the bodyguard.
Yes. But, right. 45 million copies. Thanks.
62 years later. Yeah, remind me. Remind me.
Me and Martha Ray.
Yes, you. You, Martha Ray, and Martha Walsh. No, I am. No, so what it's about is, you know, it deals with a serious topic. Most people don't know this, but in 29 states in the U.S., you can get fired for being gay. It's completely legal.
Wow.
So it's a serious topic. We do it in a comedic way because I didn't want to do some preachy LGBT
movie. Was it like Tootsie meets like Mrs. Doubtfire in
a way?
Well,
the basics, very much so. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we didn't recreate the wheel as far as the idea, but basically it's a guy who lives in New York, who's a school teacher and who gets fired. And then he gets transferred to a school in a very small town in Texas, a, you know, redneck town that's very close-minded. And he's a school teacher there, and the kids basically bully him and take over, and he gets fired for being gay because they don't want his kind in the community, which is completely legal. Mm-hmm. So he meets a whole grouping of people that kind of terrorize him in the school. And through this, because I'm slightly nerdish, that's where the acting comes in, I then make this conscious decision to return as Bianca Del Rio, the new teacher, to get my revenge on the town.
Wow.
Which is very easy because they're not that smart. So it works out well.
Which, and it's funny because you talked about Joan Rivers. You know, she had that TV movie that she wrote, The Girl Most Likely. Is that what it was called?
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Starring Stalker Channing,
yes.
Who gets extensive plastic surgery and comes back and gives Cheeks revenge.
And she came back as Stalkered?
She came back
after
as
after extensive.
Well, but have you seen her lately? She's been back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's been back again.
Bravo. Yeah.
But she, the character is, you know, sort of a mousy girl who everyone abuses. And then she comes back with plastic surgery and then terrorizes everyone.
Yes.
And that's basically what happens. But there's also these other good things that end up happening because it is a small town. Some of the people are related. And so they get back together and create more memories in their trailer. But it was fascinating to do because I'd never done that. And it was exciting that I could, in one of those moments, like I said, you know, you're given so much greatness from doing the show. You get this moment where this brilliant friend of mine who came up with this and wanted to do it, that I could take the 3 weeks to make it happen and that people want to see it. And
I can't believe you did a movie in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, very long days. Yeah. And I'm like in every scene, which you're going to love.
Wow.
But it's, can't wait to hear her critiques.
You'll get them.
Now that Siskel and Ebert ain't around. Thanks a lot.
I'll have a notebook waiting for you.
I'm sure you will. But yeah, it was one of those things.
It's funny that you think I'm going to watch it.
Well, you have to actually go to a theater or have a VCR. It was an amazing experience. I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't know, you know, going into it because we did crowdfunding in those 3 weeks leading into it, I didn't talk to my friend or bother him because he was dealing with casting and setting up things. So I thought I'd get there. There'd be two people. I'd be holding the light on my day off.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what to expect, but it was really great. There was this entire crew and staff and they made it all happen.
When did you have time to learn your script?
I would learn it the day of. I find I'm better with it right before.
Sure.
Because it's page by page, you know.
Yeah. I can't maintain. Can you maintain?
I can maintain for hours. But that's about it.
Yeah, me too. I learn of course, I read it all, but I learn it the day of. And and I can learn it with blocking. Once I know, you go here, you go there, then I say this and that.
Like you would in a play. Like I know I'm supposed to be here when I sing this line or say this. I got it.
It's just a little harder with film because it's like, of course, you're thinking, of course, you're getting self-conscious. You're thinking, oh God, that angle, oh, that this. Uh-huh. And I just had to let that go. I just had to go, you know what? It's what it is. You know, Meryl Streep never worries about looking bad because now I'm in that category. I just felt like, you know what, just do. You know, he trusts him and he does it. It was really funny material. And I also had this amazing experience because Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live was in it. She plays my arch nemesis and she is a fucking riot.
Wow.
She's like 2 feet tall, which was hysterical. I felt like you. I was the tall one on set.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was great. It was just a really, really fun experience. You know, and when you have people that have faith in something that you do, it's kind of surreal.
Oh my God, I'm so happy for you.
I'm excited.
When can we expect it?
Well, what we're doing, as soon as we get it, everything edited, because we just finished the other day, he's planning on putting it into, you know, film festivals. And there's also two people that are interested in developing it. So of course, now it's like with independent films, you can't really say when or where, because he's doing a lot of this himself.
You're not going to release it yourself.
No, it's through another distributor. But of course, they only, since they don't know who the fuck you are, they want to see a finished product, which is what he's going to do now. And I think because it went so well that he's even super stoked, it's going to happen a lot
quicker. So now he's in a hole editing and doing it.
And get it together.
Yeah. Was that part of the reason you wanted to move to Hollywood to enter into television and movies and do more of that stuff?
Well, I thought, you know, the two things was interesting for me was about New York. Obviously, my rent was, my lease was up. So, you know, it was kind of crazy. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to rent another small space. I want space. So LA looked great.
Mm-hmm.
The weather appealed to me because there's no snow and delays, because I experienced a lot of delays traveling through New York in the winter. And, you know, in New York, if you're not in a Broadway show or in Law and Order, what the fuck you doing there?
Right.
So I said, why don't I just come here and see what it is? You know, I was ready for a change.
Yeah.
Turned 40. I'm like, let's try something new.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm only renting right now for a year. We'll see if it turns into another year. Great. You know, but with the schedule I have, I want to come home and have space and be able to breathe. And you know what? It's not that I'm against New York. I'll always go back.
Yeah. Yeah. And
New York will always be home, I think.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, but you know, also you are ready made for television. You could enter into television.
Are you offering me a job? Is that what
it is? I absolutely am offering you a job. No, you're already set, ready to go.
I wouldn't turn anything down. And that's been the magic of just, of this whole experience. Once again, you know, Drag Race changed my life in many ways. And I don't mean just by having money, but just also opening my mind to say, what the fuck?
Right.
What the fuck do I have to lose?
Right, because the story was that you had sort of come to a sort of a dead end with drag.
Yeah.
You were like, okay, this is my life.
Yeah, well, that's where Bunny's been for 20 years. But no, it's that kind of a thing where I was lucky enough to get to work and I was happy with work, but I had put a cap on it. I said, by the time I'm 40, I want to be done. That'll be 20 years of doing it. I'm cool
because
with
that. You also had your day job.
Right.
Which is
right.
Oh,
which
right.
a lot of the other ones don't.
Right.
Well, but it wasn't really I didn't consider it a day
job. No, it's a career.
Everybody has a job. But for me, it was my passion. I loved doing it.
Yeah.
And so
and
it
that was doing
costumes for Broadway. And that was the thing that I loved. And that's probably one of the reasons why I wear the same dress every now and then. Because every time. Shut up, bitch.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Add on a blazer and a bun. Okay, Mr. Richard.
Oh, excuse me. That's a tour.
Rude.
On here, I do more, bitch. Don't try.
Rude. But it's not the same dress. It's a silhouette.
It's one shoulder.
Oh, no.
That you've worn. Don't try it.
You
wore one of my dresses on tour, so
really?
She can't talk
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yes.
Really? No, your dresses are absolutely gorgeous. What you're talking about is that they are a similar silhouette. Is
totally.
That right? Yeah.
Totally. And you know what works for you?
You know what works.
You know what works for you. So with theater, you know, you get to create all this kind of stuff for Wicked and for Lion King and, you know, Color Purple and it's on Broadway. You know, we did Evita's Ball Gown, all that kind of stuff.
Is
that's
this
intense.
Freelance or is it for
no,
a company?
It's for a company. So yeah. I was a draper's assistant. So I did that since I've been in New York, which was, you know, 10 years.
What do you need to do to be a draper?
Well, you're in between. There's like the seamstress, then there's draper's assistant, and then there's the draper.
Who designs it?
That's a whole nother person.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Are you familiar with, did you see Kinky Boots on Broadway yet?
Yes.
Okay. Greg Barnes, who designed that show, also designed Aladdin on Broadway recently, and he's also did Drowsy Chaperone, which is another genius show.
I love that one.
And he just designed, I'll show you photos later, my gorgeous gown for the movie, Hurricane Bianca. Here's a Broadway designer who's like, I loved you on Drag Race. You worked at the costume shop. I love you to death. Is there anything I could do for you? I'm like,
Wow.
And so he designed this gown for me that was made at the costume shop I worked at. And, you know, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's a different cut.
But
it was amazing. So it's like, you know, I've been in the world of it for quite some time and been around these people. And it was a good thing because I would go to the bars at night, do my show. And then I had that during the day.
Wow.
But because it's theater and because you worked in nightlife, both of them were kind of questionable.
Sure.
You never know how long they're going to last.
Yeah.
So I had to keep both to pay the rent.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
was just kind of the balancing act. And then as Drag Race, right when Drag Race started airing, then I had to leave because I was traveling so much.
Sure. Yeah. And then I know that, you know, the quality of life in New York is it's hard.
Challenging.
It's a real challenging life. And out here in Los Angeles where we are, the quality is much nicer. You get a car, you know how to drive.
Yeah.
And you have a nice place. You have space.
Yeah.
It's just so much better.
No, and I think it depends on where you are in life. And when I left New Orleans, excuse me, 10 years ago and got to New York, it was like the best thing in the world.
Yes.
I never thought I was going to leave New Orleans. And then I never thought I would leave New York. And then it was just one of these things going, what am I battling? I'm going home to a room this size.
Right.
With boxes of Bianca t-shirts, no place to put my luggage. I'm going, you know what? I don't know if it's the city or if I'm just 40 saying, I can't fucking put up with this. Mm-hmm. I deserve
a step up. But that's what happens to a lot of New Yorkers.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I didn't want to live in Queens. I didn't want to live in Harlem. I didn't want
Bushwick?
To live out there.
How about Bushwick?
Well, okay. I'll consider it. So I came here to glamorous Compton. And it's just that thing. You know, aside from dodging a bullet, it's really not bad.
It's really not that bad.
And that cuts down on my gym membership.
You know, you do your app works out.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And you just, and after Drag Race, you just hit the ground running. You haven't stopped since Drag Race.
I took a week off right before the movie to go to Mexico for my vacation for a birthday week at this mate. Once again, the perks of doing it. A man there owns this place called the Riviera del Rio. And he calls me and says, I would love to have you at my hotel in Mexico. If you would come and do a show and, you know, we'll take care of everything. I said, you know what? How about I come down there, you take everything, and I don't do a show.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yes. Yeah. So me and 8 of my friends, including Detox, that's the bitch to party with. She's a good time to travel with.
Yeah.
I invited all those whores. Courtney, Adore, everybody. Oh, I can't. Then you find out later on Instagram, they're home playing video games with their mother and Azusa. But... Detox was the only one who showed up, and we had a blast, and we were there for a week, and it was so much fun. But that's the only time I took off because I knew I was going right into the movie.
Yeah. You know? How much time in the movie, how much of it are you in drag?
It was 50-50. It was, it's a lot because I was, you know, Richard by day and then Bianca in the other
Dick
scenes.
Dick by day.
Yeah, it was Dick by day, and then I was hiding it by night.
Yeah.
I'm in it a lot, but you know, like I said, since he was a friend of mine, he knew not to put me outside in drag, but twice, which was nice.
Yes.
But it was a lot. And, you know, because it's film and I'm working around everyone else's schedule, you know, there were so many other factors involved that I would, you know, Alan Cumming is doing it and Rachel Dratch. So it was like I had to be in drag one day, half the day, then out of it, then back in it, you know, just the scheduling. So
oh my goodness.
That sucked. So, but other than that, you know, it's fun.
So you're on tour. What's your social media? Are you on social media?
Yeah. The Bianca Del Rio on Instagram and on Twitter.
You said the Bianca Del Rio?
Yes. Okay. Because there's like 52 other ones. God bless them. I can only imagine the hate mail they get. But the Bianca Del Rio, and I've been traveling with that. I'm traveling now with my solo show, Rolodex of Hate, that I'm still doing. Uh-huh. And then I'm writing a new one. I'll be in P-Town next month for an entire month.
Wow.
Which should be...
Yeah, at least that's a little more relaxing, too, because you don't have to move.
I know have you been there?
No, listen. Well, every time you go out
Gays
the door...
with sweaters.
Right? Yeah. But at least you're in one place is my point.
Yeah. I'm there during the week, and then on the weekends, I travel out to do other gigs.
Right.
I
mean, oh my God.
Even while filming, it was like I had Manchester, I did two shows in, and then I went and did Amsterdam the next day, and then flew back to finish
the
movie.
You are kidding me.
Girl, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What you going to say? Oh, no, I'm busy. You know,
you got to do it.
No, listen, I know because—
I'm getting this one out on tour.
Eventually.
She's going on tour.
You understand that for a good 20 years, the schedule you're talking about, that's what
I
did.
Yeah. I know.
That's what I did.
That, you know, my favorite thing that people always say to me is people always say, of course, every bar I go to, everybody knows you. Everybody hired you first. Everybody gave you career advice. I'm just sitting there going, this is lovely. Where's my fucking money? That's all I want to know. I was the first one to hire RuPaul.
They all have.
No, of course. So that's the main thing. And then the other thing, they go, well, I want to have her in drag. I want to have this. I say, you know what? She's done it. You know what I mean? She can do it when she wants, and it's not about that.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll give her $1 million. You know what, bitch? If she says no, she got a reason.
Well, if you give her $1 million, she'll do it. I'm just going to speak
for her.
But
you know what I mean, though? It's like, how do you have to question someone else? It's like, you know, you have done that for many years. I've seen you on every talk show. I've seen you travel the world. And that's the other thing too that people don't do anymore is do their fucking research.
Right.
Figure it out. Some people don't just come from nowhere. Some people have had the ups and downs and had a career
or had this. Now they don't know.
Now they think they just see what they see in front of them, and that's factual.
Yeah.
I did Glitter Face on the finale, and this fucking queen's the next day. She stole my look. I said, bitch. I wore Glitter Face in 1996, and I had pictures, and I'm not the first and last person to do it. It ain't all about you, bitch.
Right.
You didn't cure cancer, hooker. You just wearing a wig.
Yes.
Now, granted, you might have worn it in your bar, and more people saw it on me. Good luck now.
Right.
But it's like, it's not that serious. Like, you know, come on. If I would have been able to steal looks, I would have stolen much better looks early on.
Right.
You know?
Well, I got to tell you, I am so proud of you.
Well, thank you.
I think you represent the brand. You represent the legacy of drag so well. And I think that your movie is going to be a stone gas.
I hope. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, on the other hand, I'm not proud of you. I think you're awful. And I wish you nothing but failure.
You know what's amazing? What I love talking to you is that you're always consistent. You know? Kind of like my silhouette.
I don't want
to
let you down. I don't want to let you down, darling.
No, but as always, thank you for the opportunity and thanks for, you know, having faith in me. You know, thanks for taking a chance on an old queen and making something fun out of it.
Well, you know, it wasn't that much of a chance. It was such a clear shot. Well, and I'm so glad that this happened to you.
Back to Compton. Clear shot. Sniper. Well, thank you, though. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And I haven't said that since I've been with my uncle. But thank you.
Sweet memories.
I love him. Yeah. We'd still be together if it wasn't for jail. You know? This really screws up your life.
Love behind bars.
Oh, my God. He's so sweet.
Oh, thank you, Bianca Del Rio. Thank you for taking the time to do this and continued success.
Thank you, my lady. And thank you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you,
my
lady.
All right. Well, Michelle, there's another show.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Flying through these shows.
Yes. Well, until next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.